the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The life of St. Bernadette Subaru is the story of a poor and simple girl. She had asthma. She couldn't read, write, or speak French. She only spoke the language of the region, Patois. She hardly knew the Lord's Prayer, also called the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Creed, and she did not know the Catechism, nor had she made her First Communion yet. However, God chose her to be the messenger of the Virgin Mary and to tell the world that the Virgin Mary was the Immaculate, solemnly declared by the Pope 4 years earlier. The Virgin Mary appeared to her 18 times from February 11th to July 16th in the year 1858. From her apparitions, the life of St. Bernadette changed substantially. First, because many people wanted to see her and talk to her. Second, because she wanted to be religious. She was received in the Hospice of Lourdes as a student, and later, in 1866, she definitively entered as a religious of the sisters who ran the hospice, Sisters of Charity and Christian Instruction of Nevers. As a religious, she sanctified herself by daily fulfilling her religious duties and accepting her sufferings for the conversion of sinners. Since she was a child, she suffered from asthma, and later from a cancerous tumor on her knee. She never complained and fulfilled her mission in the silence and solitude of her bed in the infirmary, where she spent much of her short existence. Her life, dark and hidden at first sight, was before God that of a giant of holiness. Therefore, after her death, God glorified her, making her body appear uncorrupted. May her life stimulate us on the path of holiness, and may we offer our sufferings for the salvation of the world. And may love for Mary lead us to love Jesus more and more, present in the Eucharist. It was a small city, which according to the 1861 census, had 4,510 inhabitants. There was a police station, an imperial attorney, and a justice of the peace. In the famous Castle of Lourdes, which overlooks the city, there was a military detachment and an ammunition depot. On the slopes of the nearby mountains, there were marble and slate quarries in which many workers worked. Others were dedicated to agriculture and the care of animals such as sheep, rams, and goats, as there were good pastures. At the time of the apparitions, the Emperor Napoleon III reigned in France, and Pope Blessed Pius IX was the Pope of the Catholic Church. As a result of the apparitions, a beautiful basilica with three overlapping churches was built, and today, Lourdes is a city known throughout the world, and it receives millions of pilgrims every year, being a beacon of faith, light, love, and peace for all. Devotion to Our Lady of Lourdes and pilgrimages were increasing. In 1872, Father Sempe, parish vicar of Lourdes, wrote, 24 processions have arrived at the grotto with incomparable joy and edification, but hell is moving. The press multiplies its blasphemies. In the streets, the Marseillaise is sung, the anthem of the revolution. At Florence, Jerez banners are burned. In Sète, the brave pilgrims of Nîmes are persecuted with ignoble insults. In Perpignan, they prohibit going to the station in procession, but the persecutions and obstacles increase the fervor of the pilgrims a hundredfold. The Roussillon has sent three pilgrimages and is preparing others. Gers multiplies his too. Sète organizes a second one, made up exclusively of men. Niort, following the example of Poitiers, sets the entire Poitou region, the Vendée and neighboring regions, in motion. They hurry to come for fear that tomorrow's storm will stop their pious journeys. In the grotto, they pray, sing, and shout enthusiastically, "Long live the Immaculate Conception, and long live Pope Blessed Pius IX." But the anti-Catholic revolutionaries were not calm. Unable to prevent the wave of pilgrims to the grotto, they tried to debase St. Bernadette Subaru. A professor from La Salpêtrière put forward the theory that it had all been a hallucination, and the newspapers repeated his ideas and said that St. Bernadette was crazy in the convent of the Ursulines in Nevers. The brave bishop of Nevers had to respond and say publicly, "Sister Bernadette Subaru has never set foot in the Ursuline convent of Nevers. She resides in Nevers in the mother house of the Sisters of Charity and Christian Instruction, where she entered, and there she remains freely. She, far from being crazy, is a person of unusual intelligence. May I invite the illustrious professor to come and personally verify the accuracy of my statements? I will be in charge of putting you in contact with Sister Bernadette Subaru, and so that you have no doubts about her identity, I will ask the Attorney General to present it himself, and you will be free to question and contradict him for as long as you wish. Another alleged deception against the Catholic religion was to put up for sale, with all possible publicity, a liquor entitled Immortal Divine Liquor of Lourdes, composed by Felice. The leaflet carried the image of the apparition, with these words, "To Our Lady of Lourdes, Miracle of February 11, 1858, a magnificent bottle sealed by a miraculous medal commemorating the miracle of Lourdes, and illustrated with a drawing of the apparition of the Holy Virgin Mary to Bernadette Subaru. This delicious liquor is made with water from the miraculous source of Lourdes." The bishop notified the manufacturer that the title of the liquor, the leaflet, the medal was an outrage to religion and a deception of the public, and that the Bishop of Tarbes, owner of the source of the grotto, formally prohibited drawing water to make any liquor and that he would rigorously pursue any violation of this prohibition. Saint Bernadette Subaru had devotion to many saints, but in a special way to Saint Joseph. During the bad days of the Night of the Spirit, in which she was afraid of death, she entrusted herself to Saint Joseph, who is the patron of the good death. She devotedly celebrated the month consecrated to Saint Joseph, the month of March. We had placed by her bed an image of Saint Joseph, which she adorned with flowers, and before which two candles burned. We prayed the litanies and all the prayers to Saint Joseph that she knew. Sometimes I would say to her, "We are there, don't you know any other prayers?" And she answered me, "No, we have already said them all." She assured me that she had obtained many graces through the intercession of Saint Joseph. One day she was in the infirmary, and Saint Bernadette promised a sick woman that she would pray for her. She said to her, "Are you suffering? Wait a bit, I'm going to visit my father." "To your father?" "Yes, don't you know that now my father is Saint Joseph?" Saint Bernadette made many novenas. I once realized that while she was making a novena to the Blessed Virgin Mary, she had knelt before an image of Saint Joseph. I told her, "You're wrong. You pray to the Blessed Virgin, and you are on your knees in front of Saint Joseph." Saint Bernadette told me, "The Blessed Virgin and Saint Joseph are in perfect agreement, and in heaven there are no envies." In the Acts of the Beatification process, one of the nuns states that she frequently repeated the invocation, "Saint Joseph, give me the grace to love Jesus and Mary as they want to be loved. Saint Joseph, pray for me and teach me to pray." Among the saints she had special devotion, after Saint Joseph, to Saint Bernard, second patron of the baptism of Saint Bernadette, also to Saint Francis of Assisi. As the constitutions of the convent prohibited the belonging to the Third Order of St. Francis, only the cordon of his order was imposed. She received it in the infirmary on December 8, 1878, from the hands of the Capuchin missionary Manuel Tuzelier. She also loved her guardian angel very much. One day she recommended to Sister Vicenta Garros, "When you pass in front of the chapel, if you don't have time to stop, ask your guardian angel to take your petitions to our Lord, who is in the tabernacle. He will have time to take them, and in no time, your guardian angel would catch up with you again." So far, I have followed this custom. Sometimes Saint Bernadette would say to her guardian angel, "My angel, I ask you to go where my Jesus rests. Tell that kind prisoner of love to come into my heart and make my heart his home." Among other gifts, Saint Bernadette had the gift of prophecy. In May 1870, Sister Angela Lompetch received a letter from her home informing her that her mother, due to her ninth childbirth, was on the verge of death. She began to cry. Saint Bernadette found her tearful and asked her why. She replied, "I just found out that my mother is very ill. Perhaps she already died." Saint Bernadette looked at her with a smile and said, "No, don't cry. The Blessed Virgin will heal your mother." I felt comforted and stopped crying. Soon, another second letter arrived, saying that the patient was out of danger. I later learned that the improvement had begun at the same time that Saint Bernadette had told me, "Don't cry." My mother still lived 37 years more. Anna Durand, a postulant from Nevers, shortly after entering, had to go to the infirmary to heal her sight. Saint Bernadette was also there, who greeted her kindly. Anna confided to Saint Bernadette her sorrows, since they told her that she would have to return to her house. However, Saint Bernadette assured her that she would be a religious of the same congregation. She told her, "The Blessed Virgin will heal you." In effect, she was a religious by the name of Marcelina Durand, and she became the superior of the Tull Hospital. One day in May 1872, a 25-year-old lady in high society dress appeared at the parlor. She had run away from her house because she wanted to be a religious, and her parents did not give her permission. She was accompanied by a maid, who also asked permission to enter. The Superior General felt confused, since her father did everything possible to take her away, even by the use of force. Faced with this desperate situation for the postulant, Saint Bernadette told her, "God wants you here, and you will not move, despite all the oppositions." Indeed, the anger of her father was giving way, and he accepted the vocation of his daughter. This young lady became Mother Marta de Reis, superior of the Providence House of Montmartre, and a member of the Legion of Honor, and she gave her testimony of this fact in the canonization process. Saint Bernadette also had the gift of curing the sick. Mother Maria Teresa Bordenave assures that, while she was alive, in the community it was common to say that she achieved several cures through the prayers of Saint Bernadette. In June 1862, when she was 18 years old, a gentleman and a lady arrived from Cotterets with a sick girl. They asked the prioress of the hospice to allow Saint Bernadette to touch their daughter, thinking that she would thus be cured. The superior called Saint Bernadette and asked her to fix the sick girl's pillow. Saint Bernadette did so, and the next day the girl was much better, and she was able to go on her own feet to the grotto. This first event was registered in the beatification process, according to the declaration of Mother Teresa Bordenave. Sister Vicenta Garro certified, "A stranger woman brought her one-year-old son to Lourdes. On the fourth day of a novena to Our Lady of Lourdes, the woman presented herself with the child at the hospice. The boy was crying. She entrusted him to Saint Bernadette, who walked him through the cloister, and when she returned, she gave the completely healed son to his mother. Also, the traces of evil had disappeared." Another day, a lady who had a sick child gave to Saint Bernadette a crocheted, tangled, and unfinished crib coverlet so the saint could finish it. Sister Victoria Casso handed it over to be fixed, and it was precisely Saint Bernadette who did the finishing work. She returned it, and the good lady applied it to the child, and he was cured. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.